Education is wonderful. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Education is wonderful. Yes, we go to school and we learn many, many things. And while we're going to school, we say to ourselves, how will I ever use these things? Where will I ever put these things to work? How will I ever use these things that I'm learning here in school? Whoever uses algebra, whoever uses trigonometry, whoever uses these wonderful things that we're learning, whoever uses the information about geography and the information about English, whoever uses that stuff, you know, only people who do a lot of writing, they use English language and the poetry and stuff like that. But for us, we don't use it. Well, now, this is how little children oftentimes think, and it needs a turnaround. It needs a wonderful turnaround, and only the teacher can help give the turnaround to the child. Make education exciting. Don't say, this is why you're learning this. Say, here's how we can apply this. Here's how we can apply what we're learning. Now we're learning about the dinosaurs. Now, how can we apply that? Well, let's look at the dinosaurs and see how they lived and where they lived and what they did while they were living. Were they bad animals just because they were so big? Well, what allowed them to be so big? Well, what allowed them to be so big was that the atmosphere was just a little different at that time. And it gave them an opportunity to move. You might say the gravity on Earth, perhaps, was a little different at that time. My gosh, gravity can change? Oh, yes, it does. Over the years and over the eons, it does change. Sometimes it's greater, sometimes it's less. Hey, now, let's compare the gravity on the Moon and the gravity on the Earth. Now, if you go on the Moon, as our astronauts have done, and you see them leap into the air, they can make a leap where they can move many, many feet, 30, 40, 50 feet, even 100 feet. They can just leap. And on Earth, we can't do that. And of course, think of that astronaut with that big suit on, with those big heavy lead in his shoes and all the things that have to keep him balanced and keep him in place, because otherwise he might take off, you know. And it's very interesting. Now, gravity and now dinosaurs have a different meaning. Well, what allowed them to grow so big? Well, you see, as the teacher, as we, work with students, showing them the utilization of these things, or not totally the thing, but in a general pattern, and it gets exciting and it gets interesting. In the metaphysical field, we have much the same thing. We have students in the metaphysical field who are interested in applying the metaphysics. They're, oh, yes, if I could only be as great as Jesus was, if I could only be as great as the Buddha was, if I could only be as great as the great philosophers were. Well, you are. Yes, you are. But you see, you don't have a teacher, unfortunately, who's going to teach you the application of what you're learning. Now, it's true, we learn all about these things. We should worship God, we should worship Jesus, we should worship these things. And you see, that's okay. That's okay, because that moves a person into a dedication of sorts. But now, what benefit is it? Well, it makes us better people, does it? Does worshiping anything make you a better person? Or does appreciating what life is? Now, if I were to say to you, each one of us, upon our birth here on this earth, are given life. And that life comes from an infinite life. We are not a separate life, but we are combined with all the lives that ever live or will live. We are one life. My goodness, that puts a little different complexion on things when we say we are one life. Now, what is the guiding principle of that life? Well, the guiding principle of that life is to continue, to be life. Now, what kind of life is it supposed to be? It's supposed to be a perfect life. It's supposed to be the ideal form of life. Now, as the ideal form of life, what does that mean to me? How does that apply to my world and to my thinking? How does that apply to where I am? How does that, when I say the one life, what does that mean to me? Well, it means that there is a purpose for this life, and that is to express itself. To express itself in its ideal, original purity and integrity. And how do I express this life in its ideal, original purity and integrity? I express this life in its original ideal, purity and integrity by saying at all times that I am this life, this original purity and integrity. Now, when we drive a car, that's just an activity we do. And then we say, I am a poor driver. I can never keep my eyes on the road. I'm always drifting off to the side, looking at the scenery, looking at things. I always miss the street signs. I always miss the stop signs. I get so many tickets. And you see, all we're doing is telling us that we are not following the rules. Not that we're imperfect. It's just not that we're following the rules. Now, what is the rule of life? The rule of life is to say, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. I'm healthy, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. I'm healthy, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. If we ever say, I'm not healthy, or I'm not divine order, and I'm not peace, then we take that life principle that we have in us, and we squeeze it up. We tighten it into a container and put a cap on the bottle. It's not that it's not there. It's just that we have not used it. We have stopped ourselves from using it. And we have stopped ourselves from using it. That's immortality or wholeness or perfection. We have stopped ourselves from using it. Now, how do we start ourselves to using it again? We start ourselves to using it again by saying, I am a good driver. I love to drive. I'm probably one of the safest, and I don't like the word safe, but I'm probably one of the most efficient, active drivers on the road, always having my eyes everywhere, seeing everything, driving within all of the rules and the regulations that I have chosen to drive within, and I drive a car that is well maintained, and I have a, and it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. And wherever I drive, people like to ride with me because I drive like a chauffeur. And you say chauffeurs don't drive all that well. Well, chauffeurs drive perhaps as best as anyone can because they have a paying client that doesn't want to be bagged around in the back seat of the car. They have a paying client that wants to get there on time, but that doesn't want to create a problem. A paying client that wants to have a smooth, easy ride. Look at the chauffeur cars, as you will, on the road. And what will you see? They don't drive in the fast lane. They don't drive in the slow lane. They drive right in the middle lane, and they always get there on time, and they always move in the most rapid lane because everybody else is shifting, and they just stay in place and move smoothly, quickly, and obediently, if you will, to where they're going. Now, they live with the principle, and the principle is first in their mind and then in their actions. They believe they are a good driver. They believe that anyone who rides with them feels they are driven by someone who really cares. And, of course, the chauffeur does. Now, this life principle that we have, it's in each of us. And if we could teach ourselves and our children and our world, who cares about all that stuff, if we could just live it ourselves, then we would be the most excellent example to the world, and the world would benefit from it if they wish or not. But that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to be perfect. Be perfect even as is your Father which art in heaven, as the saying goes. But be perfect. Be perfect. We're supposed to be perfect. Yes, we're supposed to be perfect. And the way to be perfect is by keeping perfect thoughts in our mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. By keeping perfect thoughts in our actions, in our every attitude. Now you say, well, Herb, you tell this same thing over and over and over again. And I say, yes, I do. And I will repeat it forever because this is who I am. This is what I live. I have a wonderful body. My body is whole and perfect. I love it, I love it, I love it. Oh, but you like to see something wrong in my body. You like to see an imperfection in my body because you have imperfections in your body. And how silly. Don't do that. See only perfection in my body. Oh, I will outpicture a scratch or something now and then just to see what your intention is. Are you going to look at me as something evolving or something being? Are you going to look at me as something that is or something that will be? No. That however you look at me, that's how you look at yourself. Now, a lot of people like to go to all of these positive thinking lectures that are all around the world, and I give a lot of positive thinking lectures too, but with a little different twist. But people like to go to them, and they like to come away and say, oh yes, I got this technique, and I got that technique, and I got that way of doing it, and I got that way of doing it. Hey, that's cool. That's cool. Now, are you applying it? What technique did he give you? He said, think the thought that I am perfect now, and I am perfect now. And what do? You have thoughts in your mind that you have a tummy ache. You have thoughts in your mind that you don't know, that I don't know some things. You have thoughts in your mind, all sorts of things like that. Now, how do you change those thoughts? This is what my show is. How do you change the thoughts? You live in a constant state of, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. You live in a constant state of, I am divine order, I am divine order, I am divine. You live in a constant state of, I am peace. I am peace, I am peace. Now, you say, Herb, that's nothing new. No, it isn't. But if I can train a little child to say, I'm a genius of himself. And as this little child says, I'm a genius, he may not even know what the word means. But he's saying, I'm a genius. You're my little genius, you're my little genius, I'm a genius. And he goes around and people say, my God, what an ego that kid has, going around saying he's got an ego, that he's a genius. Well, sure, but you watch and see. The child who maintains the concept that he is a genius, the child that maintains the concept that says that she is just wonderful, fantastic, glorious, is that way. Oh, it may be hard for us at times as we observe this child expressing its purity, because we're jealous, really. We'd like to be just like that child. We'd like to be just like that little genius. But that child, in all innocence, in all purity, says, I'm a genius. And you have to agree with him. The child says, I'm whole and perfect. And you have to agree with him. No matter what outward appearances there may be in the body that the child is releasing or whatever, but when the child says, I like me, I like me, I like me, you have to agree. When the child says, I'm a genius, you have to agree. When the child says, I'm whole and perfect, you have to agree. When the child says, I am God, what more wonderful thing could he say? Could the child say, I am the energy of the universe? And of course the answer is yes. Could the child say, I am the atoms of the universe? Yes. Could the child say, I am the allness of the universe? And the answer is yes again. And could the child say, I am God? Oh my, yes. Now, I will teach these things, share these things, talk these things, live these things, demonstrate these things to everyone in my world for as long as I choose to be around them. And when they begin to demonstrate it themselves, as many are, when they demonstrate it themselves, then they don't need me. Now that doesn't mean I won't be with them. That only means that they will be the demonstration themselves. And they will look at me and they will see me youthful, dynamic, alive, vital, dynamic, alive. They'll see me perfect, 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 even as they are. And in seeing me perfect, even as they are, they don't need me to show the way. They show themselves the way. They don't need me to make them feel good. They make themselves feel good. They don't need me. And you see, just because you don't need your mother doesn't mean she's not there. Just because you don't need your husband or wife doesn't mean that they're not there. Just because you love your children to pieces and they're not around you, they're off doing their own thing, doesn't mean that they're not there. You are perfect right now. I am perfect right now. We learn these things, we know these things, and now we see whether the teacher who brought us this wonderful knowledge was any good at all, had any impact upon the student. Are you living what you have learned? Are you applying what you have learned to your life? Are you telling yourself that you are absolutely glorious, fantastic, vital, dynamic, alive, more than anything in the world? Are you saying that for yourself? If you are, then you can be sure that you are getting the benefit from what this person who shares with you has to give. Otherwise, you can chase around the world and look for all the teachers, all the gurus, all the wise ones, and listen to what they have to say. And there are many of them. And if you don't apply what any of them teach, you have not gained anything from looking all over the world for the answer. Because all that they say to you is, the answer is within you. Go within in peace and quietness and say, I know that I know that I know, and you know all. Have you done that? Have I done that? Have I said, I know that I know? Have I said, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace? Have I said, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect? Have I said, I'm independently wealthy? Have I said all these wonderful things? And am I? No, my yes. My cornucopia of love and peace and unconditional love and happiness is overflowing. And it will always be overflowing because my desire in life, my expression in life, is to give, 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 and give some more. Are you practicing what you're learning? Then, good on you. If you're not practicing what you're learning, then what a waste. But it's okay. It'll come around again and again and again. But the sooner you take it and practice it, the sooner you have it and live it and enjoy being all that you are. That's what education is all about. The teacher sharing the concept with such dramatic interest that the student says, wow, that's interesting, wow, I remember it, wow, yes, my favorite subject. And then they apply it because they have made it theirs. And they don't even know they're applying it. They've made it theirs. And they've put it into their heart and their soul and their being. And they're living it. This is what a true student is. A true student is one who is fulfilled. Have a lovely day and be as fulfilled as you can because you are mighty wonderful. I love you. I love you. I love you.